We want to teach our kids to have the values of honesty, respect, love for everybody, to find something in life where you can be of service.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's up, everybody? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast. And on the line, I'm very happy to have Jesse Washington. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Jesse. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Art.
Yeah, looking forward to chatting with you. I want to say congratulations on your book, I Came as a Shadow. You worked with the late, great John Thompson. We're going to be talking about that book in a second. But of course, the main reason why I love having guys like yourself on here is to talk with great dads. And you've got four kids. So take me back to when you found out you were going to be a dad for the first time. What was going through your mind, sir?
I was scared, to be honest with you, because the responsibility is so big and I was worried about whether I was up to it. But fatherhood has been the greatest gift that I've ever had. My wife, Elena, is a tremendous mother and teacher and protector and everything else. And so I was scared then. Now I'm grateful and humble.
As any dad, when you find out you're going to be a dad, there's so many different emotions, and being scared is just because you want to make sure you're ready, and this is such a big responsibility. So I appreciate your honesty right there. And people follow your great work, and people can follow great work at jessewashington.com. And if they follow you at Jesse Washington, they know the many great things that you've written, for whether it's like The Undefeated or the certain books that you have written. They can kind of guess what type of values you look to encompass in life for yourself. But talk about some of the core values that you're looking to instill into your kids as they're growing up.
In our family, my wife and I really hope primarily to teach our kids to have a relationship with God. And if you have that, if you can rely on God and follow God, then everything else will really fall into place. Not that it will remove all of your trials and tribulations. Those are actually the things that strengthen you and bring you closer to God. So it starts there. You know, we want to teach our kids to have the values of honesty, respect, love for everybody, to find something in life where you can be of service, to provide, do something useful. You know, I've had some jobs in my life where when I look back on it, yeah, that job was fun and I got good money, but what was I really doing? You know, how was I helping society? What useful service was I providing? And so hopefully our kids will find some professions that will help add to this world and make it a better place.
Oh, great answer. Yeah, I think I share your same thought. It's like you want to make sure that you're leaving this world in a better place, that you found it for your kids, and you want them to be positive people in this world and be part of that good change and just, you know, moving forward. So I love that. And we, as parents, we always kind of looked up to our parents, or, you know, thinking that they knew all the answers. But when you become a parent, you're like, I don't know all the answers. And you find out your parents didn't either. But we always have that mindset of teaching our kids. But what is something that your kids have either taught you about yourself or about life in general?
The first thing that comes to mind is patience. Mm. You know, you need an infinite amount of it as a parent. And I think that I have tried hard not to run out of patience as quickly as I did at earlier points. You know, our oldest son, Coltrane, turned 21 years old a few days ago. Oh, and nice. We're very grateful, you know, for everything that he and his three siblings have brought into our life. But patience is really needed, you know, and my kids have needed to be patient with me, because one thing that I think a lot of people forget is that, you know, parenting also is a skill that you develop. And so there were things that I needed to do better as a parent, and I'm still learning as a parent, you know, 21 years after the birth of our first child. So patience is the number one virtue, I think, that I have tried to really grab onto and develop, and that my kids have helped put more of into my own life.
Nice. Happy belated birthday to your son. And I really love the fact that you talked about not only do we need patience, but our kids need patience with us, because that's a great mindset to have too. Just because if you see them sometimes roll their eyes or sigh or do something or facepalm if we make a bad dad joke or something along those lines, just remember they need as much patience as we do for them. So great, great mindset right there, Jesse. And one more question before we kind of go into your book and just kind of your writing career and all that good stuff is, what is one big piece of advice you'd like to offer new dads listening to this right now?
Put your kids first. When our first child was born, you know, I had a career and it was important to me. And initially I was juggling my work responsibilities with my fatherhood responsibilities, and it was tough. And I felt I had been a successful professional person and wanted to continue that trajectory. But then I said to myself one day, man, you're never going to have this time back. You only get one chance to live these years with your son or your daughter. And so I said, that's got to be my top priority. And, you know, all the other professional stuff worked out, man. But, you know, we don't want to look back and say I should have gave more time to our kids. And so that would be my biggest advice is it may seem like, oh, I'm losing out with this work or this social engagement or things like that. But the rewards that you get down the line for the rest of your life, once you put that investment of time into your kids and put them absolutely first on your priority list, those rewards are priceless.
Oh, great answer right there, sir. I definitely agree. And for your book that you worked with the late, great John Thompson, I Came as a Shadow, there's a lot of things that you've said that, you know, whether you're doing interviews or just writing about your experience working with John, that he's bigger than basketball. And I think sometimes, you know, we hear that, I'm not going to mention that person's name, but when you hear someone say, you know, just shut up and dribble, you forget that, like, everybody has an opportunity to speak about what's going on in just not just their craft, but just in the world around them, because we live in this country, we have the freedom to do that. And I think that people sometimes just look at sports people as heroes or just athletes that are playing a game and getting paid for it. But there's a lot of things that John Thompson has done. What, you know, and like I said, you mentioned there's a lot of things that he has done that not only made them excel on the court, but also in all facets of life and making sure that education was huge. I remember in one of the videos you were talking about, there's a few players that they could have kept on, but because of academic issues, they're like, sorry, you're gone. And they could have gone back to back championships. So just hearing that, hopefully my audience knows, if they don't know too much about him, what is something that you have learned about John while you were working on this book?
I'm glad you asked that, because I learned a lot. And first off, you refer to it as my book, so I'm going to gently correct you. This is the book. This book is Coach John Thompson's book. I was there to help him tell it.
Okay. That's it.
It's told, you know, it's his autobiography. It's his story. It's the world as he saw it. And, you know, I considered it a privilege to be able to help him tell that story because he was so consequential. So one thing I learned is that this was a controversial guy. He was mischaracterized. He was slandered. He was accused of being a racist. He was really none of those things. He was accused of being paranoid and controlling and militaristic, all these types of things. Everything he did really rooted from the experience and his love and his what he learned from his parents. And so this was a man who fatherhood and both the experience of being a son and also his experience of being a father to his three children really shaped all of his philosophies that the public looked at and criticized. All of these things he did that people thought was the wrong thing, keeping the media out of practice, not letting reporters talk to his players, not telling people where the team was staying. It was all the instinct of a parent to protect his kids. And he called his players throughout the book. He called the players, yeah, my kid's this, my kid's that, you know. And he did turn into a father figure for a lot of them, although he never wanted to replace their fathers because he thinks that a father is a very special and unique thing. But it was, and really his instincts were very maternalistic. And so what I learned about him in his book, I Came as a Shadow, is that so much of his actions and strategies and thoughts was based on what he learned from his mother about how to protect people. You know, I'll conclude this little part by saying there's a very famous moment in his career where it was the 1982 NCAA championship basketball game. And he was playing Coach Dean Smith with the great Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan hit a shot to put North Carolina up by one with about 15 seconds left. Georgetown came down the court and had the ball with a chance to win the game and a very high probability to win the game. But his point guard, Fred Brown, inexplicably threw the ball to a guy on the Carolina team. He just gave the ball away. He had some sort of brain freeze, and it's one of the biggest, most embarrassing sports gaffes in history. And the first thing Coach Thompson did was hug Fred Brown. The game ended and they lost the national championship, and he hugged the kid who lost the game for them. And when I asked him about that, he said, and I quote in his book, I thought about what my mother would have done. So, you know, really that's what I learned from Coach is, you know, how much his parents and how much his instincts as a parent contributed and shaped his success.
And of course, people can purchase Don Thompson's book, I Came as a Shadow, that Jesse helped him write. And what you mentioned right there too is another reason why I asked you about, like, what have you learned? And sometimes people just look at him as a coach. Like, I'm a Michael Jordan fan. I grew up in the, you know, as a 80s and 90s kid, and, you know, Patrick Ewing, the Knicks, all that good stuff. And I know that him playing in Georgetown and all that. I have a love for the game, and, you know, not just the NBA, but college. But I remember that iconic shot where you see Jordan shooting it in the Converse, not the Nikes, but in the Converse shoes.
Yep, and that
was like ending that game. But you don't forget about those next few seconds and what happened. And that hug should be, I think, well, maybe on this show and just maybe for people who value, I'm not saying that you shouldn't value certain iconic moments like Jordan shooting that shot, but like what you said right there, I had no clue that happened because I was very young at that time. But like now you saying that, like that game now means a lot more to me because he hugged him. Because you see, especially now when someone's the GOAT of the wrong way in sports, not like the greatest of all time, but the GOAT for the reason why they lost it, for Thompson to have that knowledge, to being like, hey, let me give you a hug. I know you're you know, you're in some pain right now. Let me try and help you out. And like what he said right there, like, what would my mom do? And that is something I think that we want to make sure that we're doing with our kids. So again, such a great story. I really appreciate you sharing that. And talk about the relationship you had working with John, because I just find that interesting, you know, just that dynamic of, I know you probably have the same amount of respect for Coach Thompson as much as I have, but like, what was it like working with him? Talk about that relationship of working together for this book.
Yeah, well, it was a once in a lifetime experience. This is the John Thompson, and you get to sit down with him over a period of 2 years for countless hours and just hear about his philosophies and his experiences. I felt like that I was entrusted with very important historical document, a record of a coach that there's no other coach who's primarily known for humanistic reasons, you know, and don't get me wrong, Coach Thompson was a winner. He won an NCAA championship, and he was able to hug Fred Brown in victory 2 years later. Mm. He won, I don't even know how many Big East championships. He was a winner. He's very proud of the fact that Coach Thompson won championships in high school, college, the pros with the Boston Celtics, in the Olympics, and in college. And you may hear my children in the background causing some ruckus, which is another part of being a dad.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
right. but Coach Thompson's primary legacy is for the things that he did beyond basketball. And he told me over and over, Jesse, this isn't a book about basketball. I'm not teaching people how to run a pressure defense in this book. I'm teaching them about life. And so in order for him to teach our readers about life, I had to learn it too. I learned a lot of lessons from him in this book, and he imprinted a lot of things on me. Most importantly, one of his biggest things was, we as Black people have always been celebrated for athletics. And when he was growing up, all of the heroes that he saw, the Black people who were praised and celebrated and made money, were athletes. Joe Louis, Elgin Baylor, those type of guys. He wanted to show all of us that Black people can rise to the top by using our minds, that we can succeed with intelligence, that compared with athletic ability, and I'm quoting Coach from his book, intelligence places you in a better position for a longer period of time. You know, yeah, okay, we can dunk and score touchdowns and run fast and jump high, but can you think? Like, that was one of his main messages. And so, of course, that's gonna sink into me. And I think that my kids, I've been quoting John Thompson around the house as a way of trying to get them to do what I want them to do for the past 2 years. You know, they might be getting a little tired of Coach John Thompson at this point. Because I'd be like, yeah, like you said in the book, you know, more money is made sitting down than standing up. So, you know, you better hit those books in addition to going to play basketball. And I do have our oldest two children are both basketball players, one in college and one who's headed to play in college. So, you know, the lessons were tremendous. And I felt like I had a front row seat to the unfolding of history, of Black history, of American history, of sports history. And his journey is so meaningful and has so much resonance even today. You know, we saw the NBA players boycott a game this year.
Yeah,
and they refused to play because of racial injustice issues. Well, in 1989, Coach Thompson refused to coach because of racially discriminatory academic rules. And so we can see just in that one example, so many of the ways that John Thompson's life lessons are still relevant today. And it was a great experience just to soak that up day after day.
No doubt. And I think John right now is smiling down on you just for saying that the life lessons that you learned from him are you're passing down to your kids, which I think is just another example of John's great work, right? So the fact that you're
I think that's
awesome.
Thank you. And I hope I'm not the only parent who reads the book and takes away some strategies for dealing with young people, you know, because he considered himself a teacher. And as parents, that's one of our jobs is to teach our children and to impress upon them the value of wanting to learn, you know. And so I think that folks who read the book and parents who read the book will come away with a lot of insights and support. Shoot, sometimes as parents, we just need support that we're doing the right thing, because our kids would tell us that we're wrong all day, right? Like, oh, Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. You're so old-fashioned. What's wrong with you, Dad? And sometimes we just need to keep the faith, man. We need some moral support that, yeah, I'm not crazy in this, and I am on the right course. So I think that folks will get some of that from the book, too.
Oh, I love it. Thanks very much for sharing that, Jesse. And a couple more questions before we end up with the Fatherhood Quick Five. For you, I mean, with your talents, other books you've written, other sites that you've managed and run, like, of course, like The Undefeated, your dad was an artist, your mom was a social worker. Did their careers influence you to go on the career path you chose? Or when was that moment where you realized this is the career path you wanted to go down on?
They influenced me. They instilled a love of reading in me from a very early age, which is the foundation of everything that I do. They made a decision not to have a television in our house. Hmm. You know, it might have been partially financially motivated because we were quite poor. But, you know, they could have got a TV, and they said, no, we're not going to. So they had the newspaper, they had books, and they gave me the love of reading. My mom sat down with me and helped me write things when I was in school. And my father was a creative person. And I think that fundamentally that he passed that on to me, the desire to do things with grace and beauty and creativity and to do something different than other people are doing. That's what I get from my dad. And so credit both of my parents. Very fortunate to have two talented people like that as my parents. And I credit them with a lot of what I'm doing right now.
Nice. And I think, you know, just chatting with you about working with Coach Thompson about the book and like how that working with him has definitely influenced you as a dad. But talk about how fatherhood has influenced your career. You don't sometimes think the mindset of a parent until you become one, or whatever the case may be, whatever you're covering. If you have that life experience of what that, you know, subject you're, you know, writing about, you can definitely feel like, oh yeah, I've been there. I felt that same way. But for you, how has fatherhood kind of crafted the way you look at the different projects and stories you cover?
I think that it's a philosophy that you have that flows all the way through your work. And when I had management positions, you know, there's a lot in common with supervising a group of people and being a parent. You know, you have to care about the people who work for you. You have to want to bring out their best, and you have to always believe that they can do better. You know, we never give up on our kids. Mm. You know, our kids can mess up 40 times, but we know on the 41st time, hey man, you know, you can do it. And we have to have that same, you know, spirit with the folks that we work with, to always encourage them to do better, that even if you think that they're tapped out, to try to get them to do something else and to take that next step. And that's also something in common with coaching, to bring the best out of people, and that I got from Coach Thompson. So as far as being a writer, I think that when you're a parent, you really have to have a lot of empathy. And I mean, we all know that it's a bumpy ride as a parent. There's a lot of heartbreak that's involved in it. There's a lot of disappointment. And through it all, you really have to stick with it and empathize with that person. And it's they're our flesh and blood. So it's easy to do with your child. But if we can bring that to the rest of the world as well, that feeling of love and empathy, then I think that has allowed me in my work to really bring out the humanity of people, and in particular, a lot of Black athletes who are often viewed as robots or machines or less than. You know, I try to bring out the humanity in all of these circumstances. I try to really have empathy for some of the people with the least in our society. Mm. And so being a parent has really helped to hone that sensibility of love and of hope. You know, I think love is the foundation of everything in this world that we need to have in order to move forward. And, you know, you learn to love, and you learn what love really means when you're a parent. So that's how it's affected my work.
Great answer right there. Yeah, and I do appreciate your work too, because I feel like just like, you know, people reading I Came as a Shadow from John Thompson, like you get to see someone's different perspective on life. And one of the things is when I interview someone from the NFL, NBA, whatever the case may be, mostly the NFL from what I hear from their responses is like when I ask them, like, what do you miss about your playing days? And it's like, I miss the fact that, you know, I've missed the locker room. I miss different people from different backgrounds, and I get to learn about them, and I might have perceptions about them, but once you learn and you work with them and you grow for, you know, you go for a common goal, you respect that person and you appreciate where they're coming from and their values. And I think your writing does that as well, because I think we need more and more perspective on people from different parts of the world and different ways of life. And I think that is where, you know, the love and understanding comes through. And I hopefully, you know, our kids' generation will see that and take that baton and go forward. So again, I appreciate you for what you're doing and kind of just bringing different stories that people might not know or read or not like even think about until you publish it. So thank you for the great work you're doing.
Man, thanks, Art. I appreciate that.
Of course, man. My pleasure. And lastly, we're going to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie?
Yes, sir.
Favorite family movie you guys like to watch?
Monsters, Inc. And here's why.
As a
parent, here you go. This is the credo of all parents, the rallying cry. I'm watching you, Wazowski. Always watching you. There it is.
Well done. Awesome, man. I love that. So you got the dad cred for like that sweet movie, but then you got the impression in there. Well done, Jesse. Love that. And I think maybe your son's name might have an influence on this one, but favorite song did you guys have together as a family, like to sing and dance, or was there an artist you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
I'm a rap dude, so I have to introduce that rather slowly.
Yes.
So but it depends on the era. So I got my early rap era people with the content is okay.
Yeah.
But if I had to say, there's one classic album that we all listen to as a family growing up at each, and our kids are separated by 8 or 9 years at either end. And that was, there's this New Orleans Putumayo album, and it has all these songs in there that are just like New Orleans classics. I Ain't Got No Home by Clarence Frogman Henry and Kermit Ruffins and all these people. So that's the classic material in our house. And nice. You could play that record at any time or during a road trip where all these kids are in the car with all their different interests and as separated as they are from age. And they will all rock out to They All Ask for You by Kermit Ruffins.
Nice. I'll definitely check that out. And just quickly, when you mentioned, you know, rap, like for me, again, growing up 80s, 90s, Tupac's I loved rap and hip hop, all that stuff. Tupac's my favorite. But like for me, my family and I are into Hamilton, and, you know, we started on Disney Plus and all that. And they were talking about like how fast they were rapping. I'm like, all right, I'm going to show you a couple of other people. Like, I showed them Bone Thugs and Harmony. I showed them Treach from Naughty by Nature. And they're like, whoa, are you like that? They're rapping fast. I'm like, yeah. No, I said, don't get me wrong. Like, everybody on Hamilton is extremely talented. But if you're talking about fast rapping, here you go. So I just thought that I just wanted to share that with you because I think you would appreciate it.
Good job with that. Good job.
Favorite rapper for you? Do you have one?
Man, I'll give you my top five.
Okay,
and my top five changes frequently. But my top five is going to be Jay, Biggie, Kendrick.
Mm.
Black Thought, and based on his recent performance in the Versus battle, I'm going to have to put Snoop Dogg in there. The legendary Snoop Dogg. That's my top five. It could be different next week, but right now that's my top five.
That Versus just took me back to when I was a kid. And I was just like, this is amazing. I love that Versus one. That was great. I know a lot of people aren't traveling right now with this pandemic, but describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
You know, every year we take a trip with extended family and we just post up in a house. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a whole lot of places to go or sights to see. And so the perfect family vacation is where we are all in a house, getting to just spend time together, eat our meals together, you know, don't have a whole big itinerary and things like that. Just able to chill and enjoy each other, turn off our phones and just enjoy each other's presence. Perfect vacation.
That sounds like awesome, like an awesome vacation. And the next question I think is fantastic that you're doing this because, again, people can hide on their keyboards or, you know, their social media. But I love the fact that you can that you challenge people who call you out on Twitter about basketball skills. When I saw that video you posted of just going off on that one guy who's like was talking like, you know, like thinking you didn't have the skills to play hoops. How many people have you schooled on the court when they got at you at Twitter?
You You know, he was the only one.
Okay.
In that instance, I schooled a lot of people on the court, mind you.
Nice.
Like, I get mine. Let's not get that mistaken. But there was only, you know, he was the lucky contestant on that Summer Jam screen, as Jay-Z said at that time. You know what I mean? Like, he was the one dude who felt like, yeah, I'm going to come at this guy and question his credibility. Like, so you're telling me I can't write about what's going on in the NBA because I don't have enough game? All right, let's see how little game I have. And he wanted it and he got it. What can I say? Getting a little older. And so the next person who challenges me, I'm going to send my son after him. Coltrane Washington, Drexel University. They have, you know, like, you're going to have to handle my business from here on out because that kid is a serious problem.
Oh, that's fantastic. But again, I love that for the fact of, like, again, like, everyone feels like they got those Twitter muscles, right? But then, like, when you come out, like, would you actually say this to someone if you were face to face, right? And so again, I just love that about you, where you're just like, all right, let's get together in real life and see how this would play out. So again, I wanted to share that with my audience in case they didn't see that, but they can find it on your website over at Jesse Washington. There's a clip to it. So I thought that was well done, sir.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, go check it out. JesseWashington.com. We got a few videos on there, a few buckets handed out, a few L's given out. You know what I mean? But it's all in good fun.
For sure.
You did it
in a respectful way, though. After the game, you know, you guys kind of dapped it up and you're like, hey, thanks for coming out and doing this. And and I think the guy was from the military, so you were like, hey, thank you for what you're doing. So it wasn't like you were trash talking him, or I thought it was a respectful game. But again, I just love the fact that you're like, all right, let's settle this on the court. And you did a great job.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because I actually try to hold myself to a high standard as a father. And I felt that I was actually a little bit borderline, and that when my children watch this, I sort of blacked out when I got out there and I talked a good bit more than I normally would. And is that the kind of behavior that I want to model for my children? Would I be happy if my children acted the same way on the basketball court? And I had to ask myself some tough questions. So, and also, you know, I'm accountable to my children, to my wife, to my family, to my mom, as a dad. And so these are the things that we have to think about as parents and as fathers. I thought I barely got in there under the line of acceptability. And, you know, we're always learning. It was definitely a lesson for the next person that I play on the internet.
Nice. I thought you handled yourself really well. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad.
Present, loving, God-fearing.
Great three words right there. People, make sure you follow Jesse on Twitter at Jesse Washington. Go to his website, jessewashington.com, not only to see how he's schooling people on the court, but just to learn more about him and purchase the book that he helped the late, great John Thompson write, I Came as a Shadow. And just go to his website, jessewashington.com. A lot of great things. You can see all the great work that he's done. Jesse, I wish you and your family a good end of this year and a prosperous and healthy 2021. Again, I really appreciate the time chatting, and I hope people pick up this book that was done by John Thompson, because, like you said, there's a lot of fatherhood stories in here, and I think people need to learn more about him. So again, I'm glad I was able to chat with you. Thanks for the time, and I can't wait to see what else comes from you, sir.
Thanks a lot, Art. You got a great show.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts, and go to theartoffatherhood.net.